Joining us now, LPGA Tour player Maddie Shields joins us. Maddie, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Not much. Hanging out in Florida. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for coming back on with us. So you finished up your rookie year after, you know, you spent some time in Charlotte on the Symetra Tour. And so tell us, I saw your sort of blog update earlier, and it said you were, you know, sort of happy with your LPGA rookie campaign for three reasons. You had a blast, you learned a ton, and you improved. So let's start with had a blast. What was so much fun about being a rookie on the LPGA Tour?
It's just exciting to be on the big stage finally. You know, it's what I dreamed about for a lot of years, and to finally make it there and, you know, to, like, have crowds to play in front of and actual, like, good-sized purses to play for and be on pristine courses and all that stuff is just, it's exciting. And the travel's fun, too.
All right, so Mike's the fun guy. I'm the what'd you learn guy. I mean, there has to be a...
You're moving on from fun already? We didn't have a fun follow-up? Wow.
You can go back to that, but I need to know the learning curve going from Symetra to LPGA. I mean... You know, there's a group of women that you were maybe traveling with and hanging out with on the Symetra Tour, and then you got to shift over and you know, for the most part, it's a different crowd, it's different places that you're going to, it's a whole different concept. So what's the big difference? Number one, jumping right out into that first event.
I would just say it's that overall level of energy and excitement surrounding the event. Just when you play for 10 times the money. You know, the stage is set 10 times higher. So it's all these little things along the way, and knowing that your game just has to be that much better in order to make a check and pay for your expenses that week. So, and the idea of, oh my gosh, okay, I'm finally here. How am I going to perform? You know, and that pressure that you put on yourself is there. But fortunately, the Symetra Tour does do a great job in preparing us in that I knew a lot of the rules officials. I knew how to register. You know, I knew a fair amount of caddies and players I'd seen over my 4 years on Symetra that had worked their way up. So, but like getting used to a brand new golf course and then knowing that, you know, I have to shoot pretty darn well in order to make a cut, that was a big change.
Well, now, I mean, it used to be that we worried that players going from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA Tour, even from college onto one of the tours, that the big difference would be distance and not traveled, but that the ball travels in the air. And that's no longer really the case. Do you think it'll be the biggest difference for you going into your sophomore campaign? Might be just visiting a course for the second time?
Oh, for sure. That it really is. It goes underrated with how difficult it is to get to know a golf course quickly and go up against somebody like Christy Kerr, who's maybe played there, you know, 12 times. And not to mention the fact that we fly in, you know, we finished the last tournament on Sunday. So then you're flying in either Sunday night or first thing Monday morning, racing to the golf course, trying to get in 9, maybe 18. 18 on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, as a rookie, you're very most likely not in the pro-am, so you don't get to see the golf course at all that day. Or if you want to, you have to go out for what they call an E9, an emergency 9, at like 6:30 a.m. before the pro-am starts. You can only play 9 holes.
So your practice and preparation changed quite a bit as well, making the move. And I mean, was there anybody out there willing to help you, willing to share some tricks of the trade who'd been there before, or because you're all independent contractors fighting for the same purse, you're on your own?
No, you know, I would say that it was really pretty friendly. And like I said, I was lucky that I had friends that I had moved up with from the Symetra Tour. So I knew a handful of girls that had been there before, but when it comes to getting to know the golf courses, that's just something you have to do on your own because everybody plays it so differently.
All right, so the other question is there still a little bit of the starstruck feeling that, you know, maybe the players that you have idolized before, you know, in your travels through the game and coming up through the different tours in college, you know, getting to see them, getting to play at the same golf course that they're playing at in the same tournament that they're playing in.
Is there the same group?
Is there a little bit of being starstruck and having to get over that a little bit initially?
I think so, yeah. And that's why I feel like I got so much better as the year went on, because as much as I didn't want to admit it, there definitely is some starstruckness.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, we can make up a new word. I do it all the time.
Yeah. there's definitely some of that at first, and then it wears off, you know. So the most I was starstruck at the end of the year was when Steve Williams stepped into caddy for Danielle Kang in New Zealand, you know, Tiger's old caddy. Mm-hmm. And I was just floored when I saw him on the range.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, Stevie Williams out there.
Wait, did he try and move you away and take a camera away from you? Because that's, you know, kind of what he's known for. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, I was for sure scared bringing out that camera phone. I'm seeing what he's done.
Well, we're talking to our good friend Maddie Shields, who played on the Symetra Tour and just finished her rookie campaign on the LPGA Tour. And I'm curious, you know, this was your first time traveling to some place you'd never been to. Is there some place that you didn't think you were going to enjoy that you did? Or did you try new foods? I mean, were you out there making the most of this, or were you just so dialed in on trying to figure out how to make a check that you weren't able to enjoy it?
You know, I definitely tried to enjoy it as best as possible, but you do have to make sure you go about your business so that you can do it again the next year and the year after that. So a little bit of a balancing act, but maybe surprise favorite was Ottawa. Canada's capital was very cool, a lot of history and just a neat city, and runaway favorite place that I visited, though, was New Zealand. It was so beautiful, and it was the last event of the year, so I had time after the tournament ended to do a little sightseeing and take a actual vacation where I left the clothes behind. So that was awesome.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned earlier, too, about, you know, the Wednesdays and the pro-ams and not playing in the pro-ams and maybe not getting to see the golf course, at least, you know, kind of middle of the day, afternoon type thing. So back to Mike's, you know, fun things. What do you do with yourself? I mean, you're used to the day before the tournament, you know, putting in all this practice time and out in the golf course. Suddenly you can't do that. You're kind of stuck on the range. There's only so much you can do on the range. And, you know, on a Wednesday, if you're not ready to go, you're in trouble anyway. So what did you find yourself doing in that extra time that you suddenly have?
Well, if I'd gotten up to play the E9 at 6:45 and then takes a couple hours, you have breakfast, and then I'd go out and practice for another couple hours. So it seems like the day still was somehow full, because then I'm trying to rest because as a rookie, I've probably got the 7:30 a.m. first tee time the next day. So, I mean, I wish I had some really interesting, fun, exciting answer for you, but, you know, like one sightseeing day throughout the week would be an accomplishment. For some reason, I went to some art museums this year, which I never would have done in the past, but there was one cool one in Arkansas, and so I enjoyed that so much, I went to a couple extras after that. She's like so nerdy, but
no,
that's what I fell into.
No, that could become your thing. I know this is going to sound funny, but when I used to have to travel for work and I'd be all over the country, I used to go to the zoo. I would take 2 hours, find whatever zoo they had, and I'd go to the zoo. Now, I saw some really crappy
That's
zoos.
Awesome.
I saw some good zoos. You could do the same thing with museums. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. It could become your thing. So, speaking of your things.
Yeah, it's inside, which is nice.
No, true. The Jacksonville, I believe it was Jacksonville, has the worst zoo I've ever seen. They charge you way too much. You walk in, there's like a feral cat and a dog and maybe a plastic chicken, and then you leave. It was the worst zoo I'd ever seen. But I know that only because I did that as my thing on the road. Now,
right.
Well, I am curious, though. I can say I've ridden in Maddie's car. Maddie was very nice one day and picked me up when I was walking back from putting one of the the cars on the course for the thing.
You shouldn't pick up riffraff.
Yeah.
And I needed about a 100-yard drive, and she saw a fat guy walking. She was like, he clearly needs a ride.
How looks pretty harmless.
How different? Yeah, whatever. So how different was it, you know, kind of having, it sounds funny, but the freedom of packing a whole car versus getting on a plane?
Oh, gosh, it's brutal. I mean... There is not any extra room in the golf bag, for starters, because you have to carry a staff bag on the LPGA Tour, so that's bigger and it weighs more. So there's no extra room to jam stuff in that suitcase. It's already 50 pounds. And then the other suitcase has to stay under 50 somehow. And I did one seven-week-long straight stretch where, like, I am living out of the same suitcase for 7 weeks. And It's so tough. I whittled it down. I only used one pair of golf shoes because that's all I could carry around with me. And I just wear the same outfits a lot. It's so glamorous. I can't even tell you.
I was going to say, to every
living like a star up there.
To every pro-am party, you're in the same outfit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, guys, we can't take a picture tonight because I've worn this the last 3 weeks.
I mean, you know, and the funny thing is you always see on social media the clubs getting lost. I mean, did you ever have that moment where, like, your clubs were, like, the last thing off the conveyor and you're just like, oh, my God, I think they lost my clubs?
Yeah, I was so close to not getting through customs going from, of all places, just from Canada to from Ottawa to Portland. And, yeah, for some reason they almost didn't clear customs and it was very stressful.
All right, now back onto the golf side of things, Maddie. What did you learn about your game and what you need to do to sustain this going forward? I mean, you know, you've got Q School and that's part of it to hopefully get into more tournaments, and the barrier of entry is still very high, but success breeds success. This sophomore year is a big deal. What do you see as places that you can improve your game, and what are you doing to execute those improvements?
Well, interestingly enough, when I looked at my stats, I'm unlike most players who I feel like have one part of their game that is their go-to strength and another part that is their obvious weakness. I was kind of equal across the board, which was unfortunately that equal level was all slightly below average. but the good thing is that there's no one place where I need to have some sort of massive improvement. It was like, okay, I need to hit one more fairway every day, or I need to hit one more green, which maybe hitting the one more fairway allows me to hit the one more green. And then when I do miss a green, I need to hit my chip an average of 3 feet closer to the hole and make one more putt from 8 to 15 feet. So it was like, it was all these small little things. And so over the past couple months where I've had time to work before Q School, I've just worked on getting more consistent. So, you know, I know I have even a better idea of, okay, what are my swing tendencies when I hit the ball this way? What causes that? And what can I do to fix it right away? Rather than, you know, trying to dig it out of the dirt and wasting 3 days on the range or immediately having a bad day on the course, et cetera. My putting was kind of inconsistent. And so I've worked with my coach to give me some drills to do every day so that I kind of stay out ahead of my tendencies. So I'm always practicing where my ball position is. I'm always practicing what my tempo is like. So, I just don't get too far off the rails.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, that proves a great point when you start talking about, you know, how close you are. I mean, it's a fine line, isn't it? It's a fine line between if you hit that one more fairway, if you hit that one more green, you know, chip it 3 feet closer, make that one more putt. It changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And just one shot, two shots, well, one shot a day is massive. You know, if you improve your stroke average by a shot a day, it's usually a pretty good thing. And then just the, you know, again, you save one shot over 2 days and you make the cut instead of miss it on the number. And then you have two more days of tournament play to not only just to make money, but to learn and improve and, you know, get better at a different level. So just those small improvements really add up over time for sure.
Well, Maddie, congratulations getting you through your rookie season out there, and hopefully Q School comes with a little bit better status. I know you have some status going into next year, but good luck in 2018 as you head back out onto the LPGA Tour.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.